You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, if you're joining us. If you don't know who I am, my name is Richard, and great to have you joining with us live, or if you're catching us a bit later. To my Every Nation GTA family, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're enjoying probably a very different Thanksgiving this year, but nonetheless, lots to be grateful for, lots to be thankful for. And as I mentioned, that's really the theme of our service. And we really want to take a pause and use this moment, not so much talk about the history of Thanksgiving, the holiday, but really the ancient practice, the biblically rich practice of giving thanks, and how you and I, as image bearers of God, have a deep need to give thanks, to cultivate gratitude. And so we're going to jump in today, and we're going to look at that a little bit. And if you've got a Bible with you, you can join with me into 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verses 8 to 11, I'm going to take a little portion of a prayer of thanks that David offered, and we're going to look at another scripture, and then we're going to get into it. And it says this: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." And then in Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to come into your presence, Lord. We are so grateful that in this moment, Lord, we can access you and your presence, Lord. Even though we're far from one another, God, you're never far from us. Thank you that you are meeting with us in our living rooms or wherever we may be watching this right now, God. Your spirit is not restrained by geography, by time, by viruses, by anything. All barriers have been removed through Jesus, and we're so grateful for that, God. And so we are asking, God, would you meet with us in a unique and special way this morning? Would your grace touch our hearts? Cultivate a greater sense of gratitude within us, Lord, as your people. Do what only you can do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what good is gratitude? So today I want to, if there was a title for this message, it would be Grace, Gratitude, and Giving Thanks. And so I want to look at this, and I want to look at it from a little bit of a psychological point of view first off, and then we're obviously going to get back to the Bible. But in his article, Why Gratitude is Good, Robert Emmons, professor of psychology at the University of California and arguably the world's leading scientific expert on gratitude, there's such a thing as that, has done decades of work of studying gratitude and people displaying gratitude. In this article, he highlights some of the benefits of grateful people. I want to list some of them. Firstly, physically, grateful people tend to be more healthy, stronger immune systems, lower blood pressure, sleep longer. Psychologically, grateful people tend to be more joyful and pleasure and enjoy pleasure. They tend to be more alert and alive. Socially, grateful people tend to be more generous, compassionate, forgiving, and less lonely. Grateful people tend to be more present in the moment because they're able to appreciate the value of something. Grateful people tend to have an inoculation against very destructive emotions such as envy and resentment and regret. And then lastly, we did a whole series of this in the summer called Resilience. Well, grateful people tend to be more resilient. They tend to recover quicker from trauma, adversity, and suffering. And so, my goodness, forget about loading up on kale. Gratitude seems to be the new super vitamin that you and I need to navigate all life's ups and downs. And so, psychologists, and I think anecdotally, you and I know that being grateful is probably better for us than being ungrateful, right? It's probably better to cultivate gratitude than to have cultivating ingratitude. So we know that anecdotally, science has backed it up, but obviously, biblically, we see this pattern throughout scripture. So if it's so good for us, if we know that it's so good for us, why is it so hard for us to practice gratitude, practice Thanksgiving? Why do we have to wait almost yearly for the day of Thanksgiving to remind us of these amazing things, for to actually get us to say thanks as we go around the table, whatever your practice is? Well, in that article, he goes on to list just two challenges in particular. I think there's lots of many challenges, but two in particular, he says, we have what we call a self-serving bias. What does that mean? When good things happen, I take credit. When bad things happen, I tend to blame others or my circumstances. Self-serving bias. So that's going to be very challenging to cultivate gratitude if we're almost an entitlement, like this is my doing if things are going well, and then obviously if things are not, it's everyone else's fault but mine. And then he talks about a just world hypothesis. In other words, the world is just and you get what you deserve in life. You get what you deserve in life. Is that true? Is that really how life is supposed to be perceived? And I think if we have those mindsets, we are not going to cultivate the gratitude that is necessary for us. So I want to take a quick look at what is the link between gratitude and thanksgiving. Obviously, we're talking about thanksgiving. Gratitude and thanksgiving are very intertwined, but they are distinct. And I would put it to you this without getting too deep into it, but gratitude really is an inward disposition. It's that inward disposition where we affirm that there's goodness in our lives. We affirm that there's goodness in the world. We affirm that, and then we also recognize that it's beyond myself that brought about that goodness. So we recognize maybe it was the opportunities my parents afforded me that allows me to enjoy what I'm enjoying in my life now. We look beyond ourselves. We don't have that sense of entitlement. So gratitude really is that inward disposition, which is so important. But then thanksgiving is the external or outward demonstration or action of gratitude. It's gratitude in action. And so even in David's prayer of thanks, think of the demonstrable things. Sing, you know, shout, call upon God, tell of God's goodness. Those are all outward demonstrations of obviously an internal disposition of gratitude. And so to be thankful, obviously, we have to cultivate gratitude. But sometimes we often go around feeling very gratitude, but we need opportunities to declare that, to explain that. It's like we just heard with kids. Kids, like oftentimes, hopefully, you're thankful for what you have in your life. But every now and again, it's so good to say, Mom and Dad, I'm so thankful for what I've got in life. And so it's those kind of things that we're looking at. And so gratitude and is affirmation and recognition. And then thanksgiving is that gratitude and action. But another aspect about thanksgiving is that it's directional. It lands somewhere. And biblical thanksgiving is Godward first. Not to say it's only direct. Obviously, we can be thankful for people as we are going to see now. But biblically, thanksgiving is to be directed Godward firstly. The day of Thanksgiving has its origins in that. It was thanking God for the harvest. It was thanking divine. It was beyond ourselves. It was thanking God. Even if it was a hard year, there was still thankfulness that people brought. They took a pause. They set aside a day to thank God. And in 2020, we need days of thanksgiving. We've had days of lament. We have days of fasting and praying for supernatural breakthrough in our planet. We've seen, you know, the pandemic, we've seen racial injustice on the rise again. We've seen a lot of things that we say, wow, this seems to be weird in the midst of such a really bad year for many of us to be thanked. But it's part of life that we can cultivate gratitude and thanksgiving, even though circumstantially things might be hard, things might be tough. It's that inward disposition, but then spills over into our mouths as we declare thanksgiving. And so if you look at scripture, you're going to see all over scripture people thanking God for, as they look at creation, they're thanking God for his creative power. They're looking and thanking God for his providence, for his goodness, for his sovereignty, for his justice, for his compassion, for his mercy. What are they doing? They're thanking God for characteristics that are close to who God is, his nature, what God is like. And then out of that, they're thanking God for what he does and how his nature spills over and what he does. And we see God's hand all over our lives, all over our world. So in other words, if you want to look at it this way, thanksgiving really is an art, A-R-T. It's affirming, recognizing, and then thanking God for who he is and then what he's done or what he does or what he's doing in my life, in your life, in our world. And it's cultivating that. It's cultivating both the affirming of it, the recognizing of it, and then the thanking of it. And so part of the tragedy, I think, in our modern day Thanksgiving is we've taken the direction and really put it away from God and to everything else. And so maybe you'll go around a table and say, hey, let's be thankful for something. What are you thankful for? And you go around, thankful for my health, thankful for my job, thankful for family. And I'm not knocking that. I think those are fantastic things. I think you should do that regularly, not just on one day of the year. I think you should regularly have times where you're just displaying your thanksgiving. But really, for us, for the people of God, it starts with directing it towards God. It acknowledges God. It acknowledges His role and His reign in our lives and in our universe. And that's largely been lost from our modern day sense of thanksgiving. And so we want to cultivate a gratitude. We want to cultivate thanksgiving in our hearts as we become more aware of God's goodness and providence in our lives. So what's missing? What's missing then? If gratitude is so good and thanksgiving is so good, what's missing? Well, one of the key ingredients I think is missing is grace. I'm going to nerd out a little bit on you with some Greek here because it's really important. But one of the original languages of the New Testament was Greek. And this word chairo is the word that we would call rejoice or be glad. But that word chairo is also the root word for a lot of other words. And for instance, we get chara, which is joy, from this word chairo. We get this word charis, which is grace, from this word chairo. And then we get this word eucharisteo, which means give thanks, gratitude, or you might have already heard it, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the time when Jesus gathered his disciples and gave thanks. That's what that is. And so any time that we see this word give thanks, this Eucharist in the New Testament, it's always directed Godward. It's always centered around God and more specifically around the person and the work of Jesus. And so scripture, the Old Testament, they were declaring God's goodness, God's goodness, God's providence, God's sovereignty, God's compassion, God's forgiveness, God's mercy. And then it shifts in the New Testament. We're still a thankful people, but it's directed specifically toward the person and work of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the full expression of that God in visible form. He is the full expression, the flesh and blood expression of that God of creation, providence, mercy, justice, salvation, all that, living and walking amongst us. And it culminates in this Last Supper, this Eucharistia. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's a bit of a nerd way to look at it, but isn't that so amazing to see how these things are so intertwined? And so to cultivate gratitude, we have to have a sense of what grace is. And to really be a people who are going to be grateful, really be a people who demonstrate this lifestyle of thanksgiving, it's to understand and experience something of God's grace towards us. So let's look at that. Gratitude really is a response to grace. And the greater our encounter with grace, well, then it follows that the greater our gratitude probably will. When we understand that I get what I deserve in life is not the way that God works, I get what I don't deserve in life is all grace, then our gratitude, our heart is going to be more tender, more humility that comes in and recognizes all is grace. The fact that you've got breath in your lungs watching on whatever device you're watching on, all of grace. The fact that we woke up, none of us have tomorrow guaranteed, although many of us will have plans and go on with our lives as we should. But all is grace. All is a gift. When we understand life like that, gosh, we're going to be a people that cultivate gratitude. And it doesn't diminish, you know, to be grateful, to have a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving doesn't mean you and I need to ignore the challenges. In fact, joy is very different to happiness, right? You can be happy when things are going well, but you can be joyful in grief. You can be joyful in adversity. You can be joyful in extreme hardship and suffering, because joyful is still an understanding of God's grace. And so I love it that God doesn't ask us to choose one or the other. We can be fully aware of the hardships of 2020, and probably 2021 is going to be a challenging year still. But even in the midst of that, we can say God is still good. God is still working out His plans in our lives. God is still providentially looking after my life. God is still sovereign. God is still compassionate. God is still just. None of that changes. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Pandemics don't catch him by surprise. These things that we look in life don't catch him by surprise. He loves us. He's passionately in love with us and demonstrates that through Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And then he puts his spirit within us so that we will never be alone, never be forsaken. This is the kind of God that we're now looking to direct our thanksgiving towards, our gratitude for. And so, if you want to look at it as a little math equation, it's grace times thanks, gratitude is probably what we're looking at Thanksgiving. Not the Thanksgiving one day a year where we enjoy some turkey or whatever it is that your traditions are. I hope you have some of those traditions. But I'm talking about being a people 365 days of the year that give thanks to God, that cultivate gratitude. And if you're struggling, I wonder if you have lost sense of God's grace at work in your life. And I wonder if today, by his Spirit, he could draw you back to not just know, but encounter his grace afresh in your life, that you'd understand all is gift, all is grace, and we're so thankful for that. Certainly in Scripture, thanksgiving is tied so closely to experiencing God's grace that we as God's people are exhorted literally to praise God and to thank God in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18 says it like this, rejoice always, there's that word again, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's interested in our heart disposition. Obviously, the externally it still matters to God, but it flows from a heart disposition of being encountered by grace, of gratitude that spills over into thanks. And that's why oftentimes it's connected to prayer. It's connected. Rejoice always. We can rejoice even in the midst of a pandemic. We can rejoice always in the midst of struggle and trial in our lives because joy is really centered on that grace that we're talking about. So God's grace towards us is seen most clearly in the person and the work of Jesus. In no way is God obligated to you and I, but in every way he's chosen to show us his grace. And so before I get very practical, we end off with a very practical way. I want to use the story. There's a story of Jesus in the Gospels in Luke chapter 17, where Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. Now, leprosy is actually still a disease today. It's a horrible, horrible disease. It literally just wastes away a person's body. And in that time, if you had leprosy, it was not just horrible from a physical point of view. You socially and in economically in every which way were cut off from society. You were quarantined away from people and you were really cut off from all of that. And Jesus in his compassion, sees these people and they're crying out to him. And again, his grace towards us, he heals them, he touches them. And they go get cleaned and then they go have to present themselves to the priest to be able to get the certificate that they're clean, that they can now enter back into society. Kind of sounds a lot like a COVID test, doesn't it? Right? Once you've had your quarantine, once you've got the official's thumbs up, you're welcome to come back into society. Anyway, I digress. And it tells us that 10 were all clean, but one person turned back and came back and gave thanks to God. And it deliberately points out that this person was a Samaritan. If you know anything about the Jew and Samaritan relationships, it wasn't really good. It was really, they kind of hated each other. And so Jesus is making multiple points in the story. But the point I want to make is from that, just that story, and if you got time to go read it, that the gratitude doesn't come naturally for us, right? All 10 of them, can you imagine your life has literally been flipped right side up? You're cleansed of this horrible disease. You're able to potentially enter back into society, able to potentially enter a living and working and being part and a functioning member of society. All 10 of them experienced that. One person turned around and came back. And we don't know. We can guess and speculate what was going on in the other 9. Maybe they're just overcome with excitement and forgot. Who knows? But what it demonstrates to us, it's not natural. It doesn't come natural to us. Gratitude doesn't come naturally to us. We know this from a biblical point of view because of the condition of sin, and that's where psychologists can tell us of some of the challenges. Biblically, it's deeper than that. Sin literally means that we're turned in on ourselves. So the direction still goes out. We are still directional people. Our gratitude still needs to find a direction, but instead of going Godward first, it comes really back to us. And so sometimes a lot of our thanksgiving and going around the table thanks can just be sanitized self-centeredness, really. I'm not knocking. I really do hope you sit down at lunch or dinner or whenever and regularly practice what you're thankful for. In fact, they say keeping a gratitude journal, listing things is a really helpful practice. Just don't miss it being directed ultimately toward God. And not just for things and people. It's who God is. It's who God is and trusting in his character, even when sometimes we don't necessarily see it immediately in our lives. We know God is good, but sometimes it doesn't feel like goodness is coming towards my life, does it? But we trust and acknowledge that he is good, that he is in control and all those kind of things. And that secondly, in that instance with Jesus, that gratitude needs action. Maybe those other nine people were grateful, but the one highlighted came back and demonstrated. He falls on his knees and says, thank you, gives thanks. And so gratitude needs to spill out into giving thanks or thanksgiving. You know, one of the songs we sung today comes from this last psalm that we're going to look at, Psalm 136. Psalm 136 literally is a psalm of thanks, and it's repetitive. Here's the first three verses and the last verse. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then it goes on and just lists all that God has done in the history of the nation of Israel in that poem. And then the last verse says, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And I wonder if this would be a great pattern for us to pick up on and practice. Notice how it starts, give thanks to the Lord. So giving thanks has to be directional. It has to point somewhere, to someone, to something. And for the people of God, ultimately it's God, it's Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It starts with who he is, his character. We love the things that God does for us. We love his hands, but firstly, it's giving thanks for his face. It's giving thanks for who he is, not just what he does for me. That God isn't just some cosmic butler, that when I pray, he comes and moves on my behalf. That God is the one that my soul longs for most. That God is the one that meets the deepest needs of my heart that no human, no person ever will. That God is the one who made a way for me to be brought back to him. That God is the one who's going to be faithful in life's ups and downs, trials. And sometimes we don't find that within our human relationships. That God is the one who's going to be consistent. That God is the one looking out for me. That God is the one that knows best for me. We can go on and on and on. And so here's the little practice for you and I. It says, give thanks to God, give thanks to, for what? What are you giving thanks for? And so ultimately, here's what I'd love you to do. Maybe you're watching this on the live stream. Why don't you just do this right now as an exercise in the comments, practices. Say, thank you, whoever you're thankful for, is it towards God, for what? Thank you for what? Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, God, for technology. Thank you, God, for coffee. Amen. We can all say, most of us say amen to that. And so I encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you this week to take some time to write down, put pen to paper, and write down, what are you thankful to God for? Who is he to you in your life? Get specific. We talk about God, but God the Father, God the Son. What are you thankful to Jesus for? What is Jesus done for you? What is he doing for you? What are you thankful for the Holy Spirit's role in your life? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one that's changing me. You're the one that brings me into greater awareness of truth and God's love. That you're the one that's been sent from Jesus to never leave me nor forsake me. So we can do that Godward. And the second list I would love for you and I to be challenged with writing is peopleward. Now that we've got the order right, now we can also write out a list. What are the things that you're thankful for? Who are the people that you're thankful for? And then the last one would be to challenge you to do something. If there's certain people that you're very thankful, play a role in your life, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a leader, as a pastor, whatever it may be, a work colleague, whoever, a friend, encourage you this week to get in touch with them and let them know. Let them know. I tell you what, it's we all need encouragement, right? And we all have those people that we can be thankful for. And so I want to encourage us, Every Nation GTA, to be a people that are full of gratitude, to be a people full of thanksgiving. Why? It's because we are a people full of the grace of God, because we have met it through the person of Jesus Christ. And he changes everything, including Thanksgiving. Let's pray and happy Thanksgiving again to you. Father, we are so thankful, so grateful, God, that you have made us for yourself. Lord, that you are King, that you are Lord, that you are sovereign. God, come and touch our world. God, you said to pray, heaven on earth, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, 2020 is a reminder. We are so far from that. And so we continue to lament and pray for that. And in the midst of trusting you to work and trusting your good promises, your good plan for this world to unfold, we want to say thank you for having a good plan for our world. Thank you for having a good purpose for our lives. You didn't abandon us in our sinfulness and our inwardness. Turned in on ourselves, that you brought about a way that we could be turned out toward you again in relationship, in thankfulness and in gratitude. And so today, we, if there's anything that we just want to say, God, we are grateful for you. God, continue to work in our lives. No matter how stubborn we are, no matter how, sometimes how resistant we are to your work, continue to do the good work in us and through us for your glory and our joy, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.